My wife and I were able to, on this Thanksgiving weekend, we drove, just the two of us, to visit her family in South Dakota, which I just love the beauty and the expanse of South Dakota. There's, you know, with just the one tree in the state, there's you can see forever. I joke about that. There's more than one. There's like four. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a beautiful, I love South Dakota, and especially where her family lives and her where she grew up. It's just prairie mounds forever. I mean, as far as you can see in every direction. If you get up on a hill, which I did, I drove out onto the pasture areas, and they're only the second family non-Indian to homestead there. Third generation now, but really it's really one family, but if you think of the different generations of the same Hoffman family, and it's just beautiful, just especially any time of year, anytime we go, it's just, no matter what time of year, it's beautiful, it's just wonderful. I love being in this jeans and cowboy boot country where everyone has, like, you know, size 18 waists and they're like 6'4". I don't know how they do that, but it's just jeans and cowboy boot country, and it's just wonderful to be there. Her brother has, about 1,100 head of cattle, and it's about a 3,000-acre ranch. I mean, it's just really spread out, and they farm it for feed for their cattle, and it's quite the operation. So it was great to go there for Thanksgiving and just visit, get caught up. We hadn't been there for a while. But I want to read a proclamation regarding Thanksgiving Day by the President of the United States at the time in 1815, proclamation by James Madison. He said, in part, just I'll read part of it, "The Senate and House of Representatives of the United States have, by a joint resolution, signified their desire that a day may be recommended to be observed by the people of the United States with religious solemnity as a day of thanksgiving and of devout acknowledgments to Almighty God for His great goodness manifested in restoring to them the blessing of peace. No people ought to feel greater obligations to celebrate the goodness of the great disposer of events and of the destiny of nations than the people of the United States." And that's just his opening. There's more, but that's the kind of leadership we had back in the 1800s. And so giving thanks to God is not a new thing. It's been around for quite a while. But Thanksgiving Day is a special thing to the United States. And it's a special time to be with family, special time to reminisce, to get caught up, to get reacquainted. And today I just want to encourage us to give thanks, and that's the title of today. We were together with some of my adult children and their wives and kids over the weekend, and we played catchphrase. It's a game. You gotta say, get your team to say the phrase without saying the words of the phrase, and going around part of it, the rules is the opposites. You can't. It's discouraged to use opposites. So you can never say, you know, the opposite of take is give. So anyway, it's like God never takes thanks. He calls us to give thanks, to willingly, deliberately choose to give thanks. He will never take gratefulness from us. He will never take thanks from us. He never demands that. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. But we're always encouraged to give thanks. So why should we give thanks? Why did people of Israel give thanks to God? And how did they give thanks to God? I'm going to read Psalm 100. I'm going to read the whole psalm, which is all five verses. And then we'll go from there. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with what? Joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Then verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Amen. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. And I just pray that you would bless my time of communication. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time of hearing from you. That it wouldn't be just a human gathering, but it'd be a divine gathering. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your great love for us and all you've done to show it and to prove it. And I just pray you'd help us, God, to have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Another thing I was reminded that I didn't share, we're going to have a kids coloring contest. So, the artwork will come next Sunday. And we'll give it away. There'll be different age levels, and we're going to have the winners announced by the 20th of December, and we'll post them. And anyway, so get your crayons ready, get your markers ready, get your pastels ready. For you serious, get your charcoal, your watercolors, your oils, your whatever you, get it ready. So next week, the artwork will be here. So, all right, so one thing you see a lot in the Old Testament is giving thanks to God. It's often coupled with song, with music. Singing, instruments, hired bands to worship, spontaneous worship, just unplanned worship to God. It says, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs. Joyful songs. And you say, oh, I'm not much of a singer, I'm not a singer, I'm not a musical guy or girl. And it's like, Moses wasn't known as a musical guy either. But when the Pharaoh's army, all the chariots, all the soldiers were destroyed in the Red Sea, it says Moses broke into song. He made a joyful noise, and there's a long song that he broke into music. And it says Moses, and with the help of one other guy, sang this song. And it was a long song. And Miriam also jumped in after that, grabbed a tambourine. This wasn't planned. I mean, they're seeing all of Pharaoh's army dead on the shore. This is the ones that held them in slavery and bondage for generations. And they broke into song and dance. And all the ladies joined Miriam, and they sang. He said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. And we read this, and it says it in there, but it was to music. It was to a song. And in Numbers 21, the people couldn't find water. And it says, just in a brief way, they were looking for water, they couldn't find it, and then God showed them where there was water, and they broke into song. I mean, it's like musical. It was like, you know, like Joan and I were doing dishes one day, I'm drying, she's washing, and all of a sudden we break into song and just go into this. No, we don't. But this is what they were doing. I mean, this is what. So they broke into song, spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Save my soul, spring up, oh well. I mean, we know songs that are based on Scripture. It's just, and really these songs that we know of are probably more in keeping with how they knew it then than just us reading spring up, oh well, and so on. And then in Judges 4 and 5, there's a story of a bad guy, an enemy of Israel, Sisera, who Deborah was the leader of Israel at the time, a judge over Israel, and she, you know, they were hunting down Sisera, who was an evil guy, and it talks about how a different woman tricked him into coming into her tent as he was a fugitive. And we're talking, this is not just like fairy tales or fables. This is a true story of a guy who was an enemy of Israel, and he was a brutal guy, and a woman tricked him into coming into her tent. He fell asleep. She took a tent peg and a hammer. Kids, plug your ears. Put it on his temple and drove it through. And you'd think, well, that's not going to be on the evening news. They made a song about it. They made a song about it, a long song with details. There he fell, there he fell. He fell there he fell, dead. I mean, it's a long story, a long song, I should say. The song is almost as long as the whole story. And so, I mean, they put it to music. And then Samuel, after he anointed Saul to be king of Israel, first king of Israel, Samuel said, you're going to go here and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. The prophet Samuel telling Saul, and you're going to do this and you're going to come into a group of prophets, and you will, and they will be coming. You'll meet them. You'll meet a procession of prophets with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps, and they'll be prophesying, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power. So they're in this musical entourage prophesying. It says you will join them. You will prophesy with them, and you will be a changed man. You will become a different person. And that's what happened. King Saul joined in the band and started prophesying. And similar, after David killed Goliath, the women came out of the town to greet them as they came back. And it says they sang. They greeted them with joyful songs, singing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. I mean, again, these spontaneous songs in the context of giving thanks to God and of big events in Israel. And, of course, David wrote dozens, if not hundreds, of songs that we call psalms, but they were put to music. And Isaiah writes about coming into Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will be on their heads. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads. I mean, we sing these things, and these are scriptures. A lot of these songs they're scriptures. It's not just the Old Testament. It's not just an Old Testament thing. It's a New Testament thing in Acts 16. What were Paul and Silas doing when they were in prison? Singing. They started singing and praying. And what happened? God caused an earthquake to break open the prison doors. I mean, singing and praying opened the prison doors. It just keeps going. In Paul's letter to the believers in Ephesus, Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, I do have that one. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for what?
Everything.
Everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something to singing about the name of Jesus. You guys know this song? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Do you know it? Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. It's a great song for in the shower. It doesn't matter how you sound, it'll sound great. If you ever want to use this room, it's a really nice room to sing by yourself in. There's something about the name of singing Jesus singing about him. So giving thanks and music go together like jeans and cowboy boots go together in South Dakota. I mean, you can't separate the two. It's common. You know, that Jesus, the love songs to Jesus outnumber love songs to any other single person in history. Of course, the world has a lot of love songs, but love songs to a specific person, Jesus is the number one focus and subject of love songs in the world. In the world. I read that somewhere. And so we give thanks in song every Sunday morning. That's how we start this service. And it's not just a warm-up to get you guys pumped for the sermon, get you ready for some message or some topic. It really, to me, it's a soul-changing experience. To me, there's profound benefit to singing and praising the Lord after a week of whatever week you've had, whether you've had a good week or a rough week. The best medicine that I can think of is worship Jesus. Sing to the Lord. Make music in your heart to him. It's a healing thing. It's a comforting thing. It's a refreshing thing to body, soul, and spirit. And that's why I encourage and I love this congregation. You guys are worshipers, and I want to encourage you to open your mouth. There's profound benefit to open your mouth when we're worshiping. Don't just be a spectator. Don't just look at the words and think about something else, or even think about the words only. Choose to involve your body, your mouth, your mind, your heart, your soul into worship of the Almighty God. And it's a profound benefit that you'll receive. And I don't care if you sing well or don't sing well. I don't care if you can dance or not dance, or if you got any rhythm or no rhythm. I just think God is, and I don't claim to know all that goes on with why. I mean, isn't it interesting all those times in the scripture where they broke into song? I mean, we talk about how cheesy it is, certain musicals, you know, you watch a movie and the hills are alive, you know, like, who does that? But then we watch it and go, and we enjoy it, and we like it, and we don't tell our buddies, hey, that's kind of, I don't know, you can change channels, go, and we like that stuff, and it's because it's in us to want to bust into song. I grew up in a musical family, so my mom was a singer, and she played the drums. She actually played the drums for a community choir. My mom played the drums, and so we'd go to these community, you know, concerts, and there's my mom. She's on the drums, and there's 40 women singing. It was a choir, but there was a drummer, and there was, I think, one guitarist, and that was it for instruments, but it was all mostly vocal. Anyway, so it's a powerful thing. It's not just the warm-up for the sermon. And the devil knows music is powerful, and that's why there's so much of it. There's so much music in the world because it is powerful. It digs deep in your soul. And God mixes it together with giving thanks. I want to look at three little points, the power of music. First, it commits truth to memory. I mean, it commits anything to memory. You put words to music and you remember those words easier than if you didn't have them to music. And we're encouraged to hide God's word in our hearts, right? To memorize the scripture. You know, there may be a day that could come that we won't be allowed to have Bibles. And that sounds pretty radical and pretty extreme. I can actually imagine that that could happen someday in America. Bibles will be outlawed. So songs like, I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. This is scripture. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth. And it goes on, blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord lives. And we, because I know it as a song, I know it as a scripture. And if I didn't have the Bible, I can still recall and be proclaiming and declaring God's word without the Bible, because it's hidden in my heart, and mostly because it goes to a catchy tune. And it's powerful. It helps us remember scripture and scriptural concepts. Not all songs we do are scripture, but a lot of them are. Anything put to music is easier to remember. Doe, a deer. It's what? A female deer. A golden sun. My name, I call myself. Yeah, okay, so you know it. You know it. You know it. I mean, try to just say the lines to that song without singing it. Doe, a deer, a female deer. But if you go, doe, a deer, a female deer, ray, a drop of golden sun. Joan and I do that all the time. I catch her doing laundry. She's like, it's just so much easier to remember to a tune. Anything, any words put to music is easier. Number two, it builds our faith. Faith comes from hearing by the word of God. And it really does. I mean, you can know some truth or scripture, but hearing it activates it. You can know something, and how often do we encourage one another? It's like, yeah, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Yeah. And it's powerful, right? It does something in you when you hear someone say what you already know, but when it goes through the ear, it activates in your being. So it's one thing to read the scripture. It's another thing to hear the scripture. And there's something about hearing that builds us up. Turn to someone and say, I love you. Yeah. Now turn to them and sing, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. It's powerful. You'll remember it. What? Creepy. Creepy. Depends on what song. Maybe it's the tune. Don't do a minor key. Go in a major key. So we were in South Dakota, Anyway, Keith Tusey talks about, back up, getting ahead of myself. Keith Tusey talks about songs when Tony does the Band of Brothers concert, or not concert, conference. Concert, no, it's not a concert. Conference, and this is nothing new to Keith, but it's because I'm in agreement and we have the same philosophy. Don't just sing songs about God, sing songs to God. And sing scripture-based songs. I mean, if it's a catchy tune and it's to God, but it's not based on scriptural truth, then forget that song. We don't want to do that. It has to be biblically based, theologically power-packed, and really to the Lord. There's exceptions, right? I mean, there's exceptions here and there, but that's the heart of it, and this is. It builds our faith. And when you put it to music, it's invigorating. Because it's the word of God. It's alive. Then number three, music goes beyond ourselves. When they sang to the Lord, they sang corporately. Usually, in the cases I reference in the Old Testament, it was a corporate thing. Someone wrote a song. Someone sang the song. Musicians played to that song. There are others hearing the song, listening to it, dancing with it. I mean, music is a team sport with a corporate benefit. And I think that's the way God wants it. Listening in South Dakota, I'm in the basement. we're staying in one bedroom doing things, and there's the main floor, and my niece was up there. She has a piano in her room, and she's playing the piano. And she's by herself in her room playing the piano, but we're downstairs or other parts of the house enjoying the sound of her piano playing. And so it's just, you can't hardly do music without somebody else being involved or benefiting from it. So it goes beyond ourselves. And then fourth, it speaks of order. God is a God of order. Music has patterns, it has rhythm, it has structure to it. And it's really fun to be part of. I used to lead worship. It's really fun. And I was of our worship team at the time I led worship for this church and the other church before the river. I was the least skilled musician of them all. So it was really fun. I don't read music. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how people do that. But it's so fun to be part of skilled musicians and to be one little cog in the whole mechanism that makes a song happen, like we see here every week. If you just took one person and had them do what they do, that's enjoyable and that's impressive by themselves. But then you put all those people together doing one unified effort in a very specific structure, rhythm, tune, key, all these things. And it's just amazing. And I just think that's how God designed it to be, that there's so many systems like that. When you look at the systems of a lake, there's so many systems regarding the fish, the shore, the types of fish, the fish that eat other fish, and so many things in a forest. You look at a forest, the way God designed it, and how the animals work with the plants and the sun and the water works with that and all this. It's systems, the human body. How many systems there are to the human body that all those combined together make cool things happen, like life. And that's how a song is. There's so many different parts, so many different aspects to it. And God is a God of order, and He's a God of systems. And you put those systems together, and they're beautiful, wonderful things happen in a song, and because God is a God of order. A song is a little picture of the intellect and the beauty of God, and it's a wonderful thing in a world of disorder to come together and have a thing of order and a thing of beauty that is all giving glory to the Almighty God. And we're part of that. And your singing helps make that happen. Not just watching and, you know, standing cold. And I just want to continue to encourage you to participate. It's not just somebody else's thing. It's your thing. We need you. The worship team loves when they hear the worship coming back as much as they hear it going out. And it's all going up. It's all going to God. So it's a really cool thing. It just speaks of how God is a God of order. I want to read again Psalm 100. It just says, give thanks to Him. Shout for joy to the Lord. Now, having said all this, again, look at Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. Talks about Him as creator. We are His. Talks about possession and ownership and connection and relationship. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. How do we come in? Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. We give thanks because, number one, God is good. That's why we give thanks. Oh, the Lord is good to me. And so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord is good to me. Amen, 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 amen. How many have never heard that before? Okay, that's called the Johnny Appleseed song. And if you ever go to Christian camp, summer camp, you're guaranteed going to learn that song. Probably, I should say. I didn't grow up with that song, but you hear it and then, oh, the Lord is good to me. You know, you hear it once and you start to, maybe twice and you got it. And it's a great song. That's a good shower song. It's a good mowing the lawn song. It's a good anything song because it's, thank you, Lord, you are my provider. You've given me good things. You are good. And so God is good. This is the big battle of the ages. Is God good or is he bad? That is the major battle going on, and it's been going on from the beginning of time as we know it in human terms. The devil wants to make us think that that God is somehow bad, that he's somehow against us, somehow knows something that we don't know, and he's keeping it from us, he's holding back, he's using us for his self-serving purposes, or you know, literally wants to harm us, or at best neglects us, that he doesn't care, that he's there but he doesn't care. Any one of those options the devil would love us to grab hold of and think are true. And the truth is, God is good. Amen. He knows us. He sees us. He hears our cry. He cares about us, and he comes to deliver us. And he loved us first. And it's so important for us to know that and grab hold of that. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Jesus said to the man, he said, why do you call me good? There is no one good except God alone. News about Jesus is called the what? The good news. God's will is good and pleasing. We find out what is his good and pleasing will. Everything God created is good. There's no darkness in him. There's nothing bad at all. So when the money isn't there, God is good. When the plans crumble and fall apart, you can know that God is good. And when things seem really desperate and hopeless, you can know God is good. No matter what we see with our eyes or think with our feelings, no matter what our circumstances are telling us, giving thanks to him, even in difficult times, honors God and shows that we trust him more than we trust circumstances or what our senses are telling us, what our minds tell us. So Psalm 100 says, give thanks to him for he is good. And number two says, God's love won't stop. His love endures forever. That's my way of saying that same thing. God's love won't stop. It won't stop if we think, because this is what the devil says, oh, you're not doing enough. God's done with you. He's moving on to someone else. You're not special enough. You're not effective enough. You're not wise enough. God's moving on. He's going to use someone else. Like, no, God's love doesn't stop. It endures no matter what, through whatever. His love endures forever. God is love, and God has no end, so his love has no end. Not God is loving, God is love. And he never ends, so his love never ends. Psalm 107 is another good one that I encourage you to read. I'm just going to paraphrase a lot of it, but it describes God's love. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, much like Psalm 100. His love endures forever. And then it goes on to give different examples of people, doesn't give names, but people, says some found themselves in wilderness places, hungry and thirsty. And it says they were in tough spots through no doing of their own. They were in a dry desert, barren, could have been a famine, doesn't give specifics, but describes what could be a famine, a drought. And it says they cried out to God in their trouble, and he delivered them, so give thanks to the Lord. And then it says another example of a group, people found themselves in dark places because of their rebellion against God, against his word. They were defying and resisting and actually coming against God. And so it says he made their lives even more miserable. It says he made them. I mean, it talks about God did these what we would call mean things to the people that were in rebellion against them. But then they cried out to God for help, and he delivered them. And so it says, so give thanks to God. Give him thanks. And then others, it talks about they went out to sea. They were out in the water, and they got caught in a storm. And it says, you know, I mean, it describes these things. You can just put it into personal application. They're in the water, and they come into a storm through no doing of their own, and they cried out to him, and he delivered them, and he calmed the storm. This is all in Psalm 107, and it says, so they praised him, so give thanks to the Lord. And they did. And so this just goes through, it's all about examples that we can relate to. You ever go through dry wilderness times? You ever go through a storm? Or have you ever rebelled? Have you ever like gone against God's word and it got worse? Life got worse? Well, we can all relate to that. We all can relate to all three of those examples of trouble of our own doing, trouble that was not of our own doing. You cry out to God, he delivers us, and we give him thanks. That's the picture of giving thanks in 107, Psalm 107. And that's what people say, they misunderstand the love of God. It's like, well, if God loves me, he will give me what I want. He will do what I say. If God loves me, life will be a bowl of cherries and all these things will go well. But here the biblical example of the love of God is when you're going against his design, against his order, he will come against you. And that is love. That is the love of a father to their child. They defy, and we're imperfect at it, but the Bible even says, you know, you were disciplined by your earthly fathers and you appreciated it over time, right, kids? You appreciate being told no by your mom and dad for a time, because we want the best for our kids. Well, God knows perfectly what that means. And so he will actually make your life more miserable if you're in defiance, whether you know it or not, of God's word, so that not to reject us, but to bring us closer into relationship with him. Amen? And we give him praise and we thank him, and he knows how we're made best. So we give thanks and we sing to his name, because he is good, his love endures forever. And number three, God will be good to your kids and grandkids. In other words, his faithfulness continues through all generations. Again, since God is good and his love never ends, that means even after we are done with this life, our kids, Lord willing, will outlive us. And they will go beyond, and God will still be good and loving and faithful to them and to their kids and to their kids, because God is good, he is love, and he will continue to be that way to all generations. He is faithful to all generations. So you hear about people not wanting to bring kids into this nasty, evil world. And I understand that, and I've had that thought. It's like, wow. This is a crazy, wicked place. And you hear how often, if I had a quarter for every time I heard, in these uncertain times, we'd have this building paid for. In these uncertain times, but the older I get, the more I realize there's never been certain times. The times have never been certain. I mean, just stop and think about going in the past. Pretty much from the garden, right after Adam and Eve said, sure, I could eat, then the times became uncertain. So there was a little bitty time before that they were certain. After that, they're very uncertain. Whether it's revolutionary wars, you know, civil wars, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, I mean, just not just wars, but people, because the world is under a curse. And it's been under a curse since Adam and Eve. And so there are no certain times. It's the illusion that there were certain times before COVID. That's an illusion. That's not true. And not to be a downer, but the reality is Jesus is Lord in these times, in all times, and can work through everyone and anything in whatever. So when we think the world is getting darker and darker, and that is all the more reason to bring godly children into the world. All the more reason, because the mandate went out to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion over it. And Malachi talks about, why did God make husband and wife one? Because he's seeking godly offspring. And godly offspring is the best remedy for a dark, wicked world. Not to have less godly people in the world, but to have more salt and light in the world that needs preserving and saving and needs the light of the gospel, the good news. So he didn't say fill the earth if society is Judeo-Christian. Or fill the earth if the economy is strong. Or if its leaders are righteous. But if they're not righteous, no, don't fill the earth. Fill the earth if society approves of large families. It's like, no, he said fill the earth, knowing that the world would go the way the world went. And all the more reasons, the wisdom of God to bring not just any children, godly offspring. So we need to be praying for our kids, need to be sharing the good news. We need to demonstrate and model the Word of God and the life of Christ in your home so that your children become godly children who love Jesus. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for those kids. So I don't claim to know everything about why there's so much music involved in the praising and the giving thanks of God, but those are some thoughts that I had. So I just want to close and conclude with this story. We came back from South Dakota. My son Colin and his wife Sarah, who are with us today and for the weekend, were there. They were there when we were gone, and so my other kids got together, and they were all at our house. A lot of them were at our house when we got home from South Dakota. And so I got a lot of grandkids and adult kids in the house, and some were in the driveway, and I pull in to greet them, some of the adults, and we're talking to them, and one by one, grandkids started piling out onto the driveway. Papa, Papa. You'd swear I hadn't seen them for, 10 years. Papa, Papa. And grabbing me and hugging and all the loving on the driveway, and a greeting like that given to a flawed, sinful human, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And we are giving thanks and praise to a perfect, eternal Father who loves us enough to sacrifice his Son for us. When you're giving thanks, I mean, there is no darkness in him at all. And if we are called to give him thanks with understanding, God is seeking worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. And the more you get to know God, the more you will want to give him thanks. The more you will want to worship and praise his name. The more you will want to give your every minute of every day to pleasing him, to living for him, to honoring him with your money, your time, your relationships, your decisions, all these things, how you live your life. Get to know the living God. So I want to close with one song. Sing along with me if you know it. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Can we stand up? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Bring it up louder. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Father, thank You for Your mercy and grace, Your love for us that You initiated first. You first loved us. We love You because You first loved us. God, you took the initiative first, and You showed us by example that we are to take the initiative even in difficult situations. As we rebelled against You, as we didn't give You the time of day, as we were living our own lives and maybe at best asking You to bless what we were doing, You still loved us. In our ignorance, in our rebellion, You loved us and gave Your Son for us. You laid down Your life for us. And when we discovered that, then we loved You back. Lord, help us to love others in that way, not expecting them to be all fixed up and all righteous up and all godly and everything and doing everything right before we love them, just like we were not godly before You loved us. Father, we just pray that You would be glorified in this season, be glorified in our nation, be glorified in this city. And Lord, it all starts in our homes. Help us, God, to honor You, to give You thanks in everything, in all circumstances. We know that Your Scripture says, for this is Your will for us, is to give thanks and to rejoice in everything. And Lord, that honors You and shows that we trust You more than we trust what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears. We trust You that You are good, that You are not done with us. Father, use us. Use us as Your ambassadors to make the good news known better in this town and in the world. Thank You that You are coming back someday. And Lord, I pray that there would even be an increase in music. Musical song and praise for who You are, whether we think we can sing well or not, because it's not about that. Thank You for Your love. Bless our week, Father. Be glorified in it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone saying, Amen.